Thanks for checking out the VU Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you.
I just want to say Brant Kreider is the guy that I'm trying to dress like. So if you're wondering, everything
That's
that
like
he
the
wears,
nicest thing you've ever seen.
I asked his wife, Mary, I said, can you just send a photo every morning of what he puts on? Because that's what I plan on wearing. And so I'm trying to keep up with you. But tonight, we're just going to have a conversation. And so, like I said on Tuesday night, I know it's kind of a crowded room, and we're just going to ask that you kind of just give us your attention. If you got to go out for some reason, take a phone call or something, check out the beer garden in the back. That'll suit you well. But otherwise, if you're going to be here, let's try to kind of lean into what's happening. But Brant, we're pumped that you're in Miami. Is this your first time to Miami?
It's not my first time in Miami, actually.
Okay.
Funny enough, my fashion career started in Miami. Believe it or not, we're not the same age.
I'm older.
Anyways, about 20 years ago, in 1995, I came here for my very first business trip in my life.
Really?
Yeah. And it actually changed my life, the time in Miami. Miami was popping then, as it's popping again.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? There's so much culture and so much life and so much activity and energy that's going on in this place right now that it reminds me where it was, you know, 20 years ago. And so it's truly an honor to be in your presence, to be in the presence of your beautiful bride, to be with your church and your movement. And I can't thank you enough for just giving me a moment with you.
Well, bro, the honor is all ours. Come on, how many of you are thankful Brant's here tonight? We're grateful for you. Brant, maybe we can just kind of start from the beginning. I feel like part of like when we were thinking about this whole idea of Art Basel, I've got so many fun friends that we'll sit together and have drinks and talk for hours. And sometimes those conversations are the conversations that have shaped me the most, that I wish I could bring, you know, all 3,000 of my friends along with me to lean into those conversations. And so tonight, that's kind of what we're just trying to do. But I thought we would just maybe start from the beginning a little bit of just maybe your journey. I don't even know. I've never even asked this before. Did you grow up as a church kid? And if not, when did you even kind of meet Jesus? And when did you kind of take on the journey of faith?
I love the fact that we didn't practice any of this.
I know, we didn't practice any of this.
And I love the way you started. I did not grow up as a church kid. I did not. I did go to church a few times. And I found it to be really uncomfortable. Like, it felt like bad sheets on a bed. You know what I mean? Like, I always had to get dressed a certain way and always felt sleepy. And, like, I never really found anyone that was representing any part of what they were talking about, you know? So it was a bit confusing for me. We moved to LA. By the way, my wife, Mary, we met when we were 12, who... So in the midst of the love story, I often reference my relationship with God as a love story. I feel like he kind of invited me into his story. And in it is this beautiful love story. And when you catch your part of the love story, then life becomes like this adventure, right? And so the part of this love story where he writes us in together, you know, is my journey to him, you know? And so ironically enough, I went to church a few times and I couldn't really find my place. And so funny enough, I moved to LA. I went to Miami, kind of lost my mind. I wasn't a Christian in Miami the first time I was here.
Did you ever party with Vanilla Ice?
I did not party with Vanilla Ice, thankfully. And I moved to LA and I found a scene, I found the rave scene. I was kind of a fashion guy during the day, but I found a very kind of emerging electronic music scene. And I remember being on a mountaintop or in a desert with 5 or 10,000 people dancing to the sun came up. And I felt like there was a tribe and a party and a rhythm that was going on there that felt a lot more like church than the church that I was attending, right? And so quick story, which I guess is part of this whole thing, right? My father, who I hadn't talked to for like 5 years, he had gotten married. He went through a divorce. He got married to my stepmother. Was the first Christian I knew. I kind of rebelled, moved to LA. I told you a little bit of the story. But I went to a Promise Keepers convention in Mile High Stadium, 1996, Denver, Colorado. And I was very surprised that I had ended up there, standing in a field with 60,000 men, kind of dorkishly worshiping back then, khaki pants and flannel shirts. And it was, I mean, now it's cool. But at the time, it felt super off. And as I stood on that field with the sun setting behind the white Bronco, I had the only way that I can articulate the experience that I had is in the Bible when Saul became Paul. as I stood there, I was always a tough guy. I never cried, and you know, I was always spoken, never cry. And I stood there, and I remember all my times on the rave scene, always thinking that the right music, the right DJ, the right moment, I'm going to find the answer. And like, I don't know about you, but there's so much of my life adventure. I'm like looking for the answer and looking for the answer and looking. And I find there's so much of an erosion of peace in people's lives because they keep looking for the answer and they keep trying and they keep trying. And they're like, where is it? Where is it? And every time the sun would come up on a rave, I'd felt this sense of like disappointment because I didn't find it, right? So I stood on this field one day in 1996 in July and I started weeping and weeping and weeping. Because I heard this voice that said, I am the answer that you're looking for. And I felt my whole soul change in an instant. I fell to my knees and I couldn't stop crying that this God would be so in love with me, that he would captivate my heart and introduce me to his love story. And that's kind of where my journey began with him.
That's amazing. Come on. How many answers? What I love about you, one of the things like I've always admired about you is like when we talk, doesn't matter where we are, like passion just exudes out of you. Have you always been somebody, even before you knew God, that lived so attentive and so aware and so engaged?
No, dude. No. Without sounding religious, somebody asked me the day, are you religious? I'm like, bro, I hope not. And I think, you know, I have a few people in my life that would be a witness, but the transformation that happened in my life from like death to life, from ashes to beauty, from blind to seeing, like it happened everywhere. It was a transformative. And one of the things I often find complex about the way people relate to God is they try to do it with their head, right? Like you can't contain him in your head. You can't. He's all over it. He's all over you. And so because of my kind of initial introduction to this king, it transformed me in a really kind of major way. And so I began to pursue him where we're like reading his story together. You know, like the word came to life. Like I was a part of an adventure. And every time I would meet someone, they're like, oh, what part of the story are they going to play? Like this story that we're a part of, it's unbelievable. And like we're in a part of it that seems a bit like uneasy, a bit scary, a bit like what's going on. But there's part of the promises that we haven't seen yet, and they're beautiful. He's super loving. He's super kind. He's super gracious. He cares a lot about every detail of our lives, and he really, really, really wants to get involved.
Talk a little bit about your journey into fashion, because that's kind of where you find yourself in the day-to-day, in that space, in that sphere. I'm someone who really admires fashion, know very little about it, but I've got a big admiration for it. How did you even end up, because there's probably some people here tonight that are, I've got a dream in their heart. I know I'm looking around some of this room, there's some people here that are in, you know, starting to make t-shirts, starting to design different things. How did you end up into fashion? What was your journey into that whole world?
Well, I'm from a small town in Ohio. It's a kind of a town it's known for the fast food capital of the Midwest. We have every single fast food restaurant you can think of in like 1 mile. And dressing up for dinner was going to Bob Evans or Cracker Barrel. It was one of the two.
Shout out Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel. And if you didn't wear an Ohio State sweatshirt and hat, you wouldn't get a table at Cracker Barrel, right? So like, that was fashion. Where I grew up. But I met this beautiful woman named Mary, who's my wife now, who told me that they were hiring part-time at Abercrombie & Fitch in a mall a long time ago. And by the way, this I know you think I should be, but I wasn't then. It was before the door guys. So it was, I'm teasing. It was way, way, way back.
Who remembers the door guys at Abercrombie & Fitch?
Way, way before that.
Would you believe me that one time I went and I took my shirt off and I stood next to the door guy?
No, I didn't believe
it. And I lasted a whole 12 minutes before they kicked me out. Now, I'm not saying that my body compared well to the picture, but I'll take it where I can get it.
I thought for sure you're going to tell me you were doing that part-time for me.
No, I never had that kind of a body. More of, you know, just a big personality.
Space, right, yeah. Where were we?
Yeah, you were talking about how Abercrombie launched you.
Right. Anyway, so we were there for, I was working there for a few months, part-time sales. And a few weeks later, someone said they were opening an Armani exchange store. I don't know if anyone remembers that.
Come on, you know? Yeah.
And they recruited my wife and I and a couple other, you know, young people. And all of a sudden, I was working in retail, and I learned so much so quickly about environments and culture and music and sound and light and touch and art. And, like, all of a sudden, I just started to look at the world in a different way. And what I loved initially about this industry was this idea of beauty, right? The thing about fashion that I love is that you have permission to evoke beauty in people, right? And I think that one of the things that God really loves is to help his people grow in beauty. You know what I'm saying? And so I mean, we all love beautiful things. And so luxury goods and fashion became this opportunity where I meet amazing people, be a part of culture, have music, fabric, texture, and just fell in love with the whole process. Came to Miami and literally started part-time sales, full-time sales, assistant manager, store manager, and worked hard. I come from the Midwest, and we have this like really crazy thing where you show up. If there was one little bit of advice I could give to a young person today in work and culture and growth, whatever, that you show up. You show up in every day, in every way, you know, that you maybe even dress like it's your first date, that you have a smile on you, the first one, maybe not, depending on where you're going on your day, at least on a job interview, you know, every day. I wanted to do a good job. You know, I wanted to take care of people and be kind to people and show up and be on time, last one there. I worked really hard, you know. So I'm not a fashion scholar. I didn't study fashion. But I love the concept of being in a place where I have permission to evoke beauty in people.
So what I love about this story, because I think this is really helpful for, there's a lot of, you know, millennials, 20-somethings and 30-somethings probably here tonight, is I just like that idea right there about showing up. That's actually very, very practical, good handle. But I think a lot of people would probably look at your story right now and the position and the title that you carry in this world and say, wow, president of Yves Saint Laurent, but you started at Abercrombie & Fitch. Yeah. What would you say, like, on that journey was maybe the biggest thing that you learned maybe back then that you still carry right now today?
I guess the dream, right? Like, the practical part was just showing up, but the idea that there was this moment where I saw someone. Like, sometimes it helps when you just find a person. There was one time I went to an event. I saw this guy walking across. I was like, who's that guy? And they're like, that's the CEO. And I decided, I think I was 23, 24. I decided at that moment, like, I want to be a CEO. Like, there was just that example, and all of a sudden, I believed, had a dream, was just kind of reverse engineered it from there. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I want, and I'm going to work really hard between now and there to get there. And I mean, clearly there's favor, and it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible that I tell my kids pretty much every time we have dinner or go to bed. It's the story of the 10 lepers, right? And I don't know about you, but sometimes the world makes me feel like a little bit of a leper, you know? It's crazy, noisy. You know, Jesus healed 10, you know, and one of them turned around, and he fell to his knees, and he couldn't stop saying thank you. Like, I'm that guy, you know, all the time. Thank you. You saved me. You set me free. You gave me a chance. You put me around great people. Like, I'm so grateful. I spoke recently in this conference, and they're like, what's on your agenda? What are the top three things on your agenda? And I was like, you know, number one for me every day is just walking in gratitude and being that one guy who just turns around and falls to his knees and says, thank you that I can walk and laugh and touch and love and dance, that I have a meal on my table, I can drink clean water, I have friends in the community, I've got, like, we have so many amazing things. Sometimes I feel like we just need to live in a moment of gratitude.
I love that. I really love what you're talking about, the dream, because I think at the heart of that, it's about the idea of having a vision. And oftentimes I've talked about vision, that I think God gives us a vision of the future so that we can endure the pain of the present. And the reality of it is that when you have a vision, all of a sudden now, every bit of your pain, it has a purpose. Can you maybe, if you don't mind, and we're already kind of there, and, you know, I think we're already being vulnerable, and we're in this, there's no one here but us, for goodness sakes. Maybe identify a moment. When was a moment maybe on the journey that you thought about giving up? Or maybe that's a continual thought, or can you kind of pinpoint a moment where you're like, man, I can't do this? And maybe what came over you to take you forward?
That's a great question, dude. Great question. I will say one of the things was when I moved to New York, Mary and I, we got married in L.A., but we moved to New York September 9th, 2001. It was 2 days before September 11th. So there was a moment there that I was like, did I just leave? But I remember sitting on the curb on our little cute little house in Beverly Hills, seeing our stuff leave, and feeling actually quite called both professionally and spiritually to New York. And we were sitting there on the curb, our stuff had left. We're like, why are we started crying. Clearly, I cry a lot. But why are we leaving? And then coming to New York, and September 11th happened, and that journey and that process and everything. But there were times when. Often what I realize is that if money gets thin, dreams get thin.
Wow.
Right? And there were times when like I felt like the Lord was really calling us to make decisions about faith in Him rather than the resource we could see. You know, so there were times in the process where I'm like, can we stay to live? Can we afford to live here? You know, should we be moving somewhere else? But I do think there are times practically that there's a geographical will that where God wants you to be in a certain place. And I absolutely felt like we were called there. It was very long before, you know, a lot of things that are going on in New York now. And just felt like we needed to have faith in His promises and hold Him accountable to His word. You know, he actually wants you to hold Him accountable to His word. There are things that we actually are not living in that He's promised, right? And so, like, He really actually likes it when we engage in Him and we say, if this is the resources I have, my trust is in You. And we had to do that. We still do that all the time, you know. But there were definitely a moment in our life where, like, should we move? We just had to put our faith in Him.
So good. Very, very helpful. Maybe we can kind of turn the conversation a little bit around this idea of leadership. Because I really think that life is about leadership. And everyone in this room, whether you know it or not, you're a leader in some circle somewhere. Maybe you're a mom, you're leading kids. Maybe you're at an office, you're leading employees. Maybe you're a teacher, you're leading students. I've always, like, once again, like, thinking about your job and what you do. And I don't want to necessarily go so deep into it, but I've always seen you from the outside, and maybe you can correct me where I'm wrong, is that you're kind of like the quintessential right brain, left brain kind of guy. Because being the president of Saint Laurent, a fashion brand, really, you're on the operation side. So you're dealing with stores, you're dealing with like actual like org charts, you're dealing with like managers and employees and like benefits. Then there's this other side that you're dealing with all these designers and like creatives. And obviously you have to have a creative twist too to be in that space. Talk about a balance maybe a little bit. How you've been able to lead on both sides of this coin, leading up, leading down. Just maybe some of the thoughts that come to your mind as you kind of think about that area, like how you've been able to engage in that space where it's both sides of the coin for you, really.
Man, your questions are so good, dude. You should do this more often. You guys should get a TV show or a talk show or something like that.
He's prophesying. Okay.
One of the things I love, and I reference kind of, I go right back to my relationship with the Lord, but because I reference, like, I don't know about you, but I didn't have a lot of examples of people who walked life in a way that I could be like, that's how I want to walk life. And so when I got saved and started developing a relationship with Jesus, I decided that He would be my legend, okay? So, like, when you look at a map, there's a key on a map, right? In order to understand the map, you read the legend. So He's always my legend, right? And so He, as a leader, and the way that He dealt with people, the way that He was kind and gracious, the way that He took matters on, like, He's always both, right? He's a just judge and a loving Father. He's a lion and a lamb. You know, in order to live, you have to die. Like, He's always the both. And, like, I feel like, you know, the thing that I find fascinating when you go into Scripture, like, there was two trees in the garden. There was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life, right? Sometimes the knowledge of good and evil is where we get confused. He is life, and if you keep Him as your legend, you will find consistently direction as a leader, right? And so, like, this idea of a legend, like, the thing, if you remember what He told us, in His love story, it was that we were to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all our strength. And if I, as a leader, can function in that where I'm loving God in a multidimensional way when I wake up every morning, right? Like, I don't know if you remember, but the last time you took a breath, it was because He gave it to you. Like, you breathe His very breath. You haven't taken one ever without Him. You haven't had one. You might have forgotten he was there. Maybe he wasn't there, but you haven't breathed without him, right? So we breathe as a very breath in that place. Like, if I can love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, like, as a leader, like, I feel like I'm going to be okay. You know, find grace for people, find love for people, find kindness. And, you know, it's been my guide.
I love how you take, you know, life is not simple. Life is complicated. Yet I think that we do have a simple answer. His name's Jesus. And I think I love how you always steer things back to that. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can hear that and go, oh, that just sounds so simple. But sometimes it is actually that simple. It's just actually doing that, which can at times be challenging for us to remind ourselves of what we already do know. And it seems like in every area of your life, even in the business area, even in your job, knowing who your source is, knowing who the one's been faithful to you, is what allows you to continue to move forward and be faithful to those around you.
I find that we've made things really complex, and for me, you give me a word, you know, like, even if you take the word love, when you mention love in the workplace, and you mention it with, like, love is patient, just talk about love and patience. You can talk for a long time with creating an environment where there's love and patience, where there's kindness, right? Where love keeps no record when it's been wronged. So you actually have permission as a human being to create an environment wherever you are because of the spirit that's upon you that is filled with exactly what he wants you to live in and walk in.
So good.
Right? So I've been doing this meeting lately, you know, and I do meetings often, and I'll be like, if the joy in your life was specifically related to what you brought today into the environment, how would you feel? And now, it's a silly question, because every day, in every way, you actually are responsible for the way that you feel in an environment. You can bring love, you can bring grace, you can bring joy, you can make decisions tonight to feel good tomorrow. And the thing lately I've been fascinated about, like, if you work out once a month, nothing changes. But if you do little changes every single day, then all of a sudden you can see your body transform. That same idea works for relationships, it works for organizations, and it helps cause growth. Right? And so it's just, and the problem is we do a meeting once a week, we get it here and there. It's these little things all the time, every day, that actually allows us to, like, I've been often referencing this place in terms of a channel, a frequency. Like, there are times when you hear God's voice really well, maybe you feel peace, maybe you're in a worship moment, you're like, wow. Then you get back to the noise of your life, and you're like, which one is the right channel? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like convinced more than ever, there's a frequency he wants us to stay in. It's a frequency of peace. It's a frequency of kindness. And actually, we need each other to stay in it. You know, and we have to be careful about what we put in that might come out. And so much of what I see is just the result of what we put in. Right? And sometimes I just feel like, hey, let's change the channel and help each other stay in a frequency that's exactly what we all want.
Amazing. Hopefully all the leaders in this room, you know, if you're maybe you are starting a business, maybe you've got a dream right now, maybe you're working with teams or you're working with people. I know right now for us, we just started a church, and so I'm always looking for handles and areas to sharpen leadership and develop, and he's given us some gold right now because there's a practical handle there of just being consistent and doing a little every single day that makes a huge difference. And let me just tell you, he's a huge authority on this. He won't tell you this, but I mean, he took Saint Laurent when it had, how many stores? Stores when you first got over there?
I think we had six.
Six stores, and now is it?
31.
31 stores globally.
Just
North America.
North and South America.
And am I allowed to say it's like 60 million to 300 some million now or something?
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk another day, right? It's just, go on Google.
We've done well.
All I'm trying to say is this guy has got some really great goal that he's given us, and I really appreciate it. But I wanted to stay there for a second longer, and you're here this week and you're working and you got business, you got different things you have to go in. You're a believer. Maybe just for all of us, because I don't actually believe that every Christian's called to like go get a job at a church and be a pastor behind a pulpit. I actually believe that we're supposed to be corporate evangelists, and we're supposed to be, you know, a missionary barista. We're supposed to be fashion designers for Jesus. Wherever you are, you know, our good friend, your pastor, Carl Lentz, says occupy all streets. And you do that in such a gracious way. Is there anything that you can maybe help us for a moment, leadership-wise, function relationally, that how do you handle your faith in all these spaces?
Well, the first thing that I would suggest is that just because someone hasn't accepted Jesus or doesn't go to church doesn't mean that the Spirit of God cannot rest on them, cannot give them peace. And I often feel like we categorize people before we just allow the presence of God to move through our lives. Like, and I think that's one thing, like, before you get too caught up into, do I do this or do I that, who are you? Right? Like, what are you bringing to an environment? Like, what's your life at home like? What's your relationship? Like, I just feel like people are often trying to figure this part out, and they just need to figure out, what are they bringing to the table? I strongly encourage those who are on the fence between, you know, the call to be a pastor. I've felt that kind of pull at times in my life, and I really always feel like the Lord's like, hey, I need you to be both. You know, I just need you to be both. You're where I need you to be. I need you to be both. I need you to be in it and not of it. I need you to have relationships with, like, you know, Richie and Carl, and I need you to be in the world doing what I need you to do. And I just feel like when you have a person to bring to the table, and you do, and not let your, like, what you bring be influenced by the circumstance around you, just bring something to the table where you can literally bring peace into an environment, and, like, just show up, work hard, be kind. And I feel like Jesus and 12 crazy disciples, got those guys were like us. You know, they were fishermen. They weren't that bright. They weren't that articulate. They were just like normal dudes, and they changed the world. And they actually stayed fishing. You know, I mean, they did their thing. Like, I don't think that you have to give up one for the other, because he's got them both.
So good. I didn't write down a whole lot of questions tonight because I like to have a conversation, but I did write down these next two. The first one you might not like. You might actually love it. The second one I think you'll like a little bit more because I just know you. First question that I did write down, because I think this is actually
this your... This is the first one you wrote down?
This is the... Well, I... It's all... Well, pretty much, okay. But... And this is a real question, and if I need to explain it more, I will, but I think you're a good authority on this, because a lot of your time is spent outside of, you know, the actual location of a church, per se. What's your greatest pet peeve with Christians and the church?
I guess my greatest pet peeve at the moment is that we have amnesia. I feel like we forgot who we are. And we're working really hard on building certain things when we need to be working really hard on building certain things together. I often look in the book of Revelation, it talks about the river of God, you know? And it's not a stream, it's a river, right? And the only way that a river happens is when streams come together. And so my pet peeve is the kind of impoverished mindset at times that has filtered in to say it's us and them. When I look at who we are, when I read in the word of this love story about who we are, it says that we were made in the image and likeness of the very creator, of the one who hung the moon and the stars and has infinite more wisdom than we could ever imagine. We were actually made in his image and likeness, and we breathe his very breath, right? That we were given dominion, power, and authority over the whole earth, right? So there is identity in this room of royalty, of princes, and I mean, it's royalty in the room. Like, we're amongst the sons and daughters of the living God. Like, and I feel like that at times one of the things the enemy has tried to get us to do is simply forget who we are and whose breath we breathe.
Come on, so good. Flip side is, what are you most excited about that you're seeing today in the world of faith?
This moment. I mean, it's Friday night, wouldn't it? No, it's Thursday night, whatever day it is. It doesn't matter. No, it's been a long week. Dude, it's just this moment. It's just that we can have a conversation. it's just right this second, man. Like this is what gets me excited, that we're here, we're in this place, and we're talking about the one who is the hope of the world, and that we can take a moment out and just be like, hey, let's just get real with who is the answer to the question. You know what I mean? Like, I'm excited about what you're doing, man. I'm honored to be a friend of yours. I'm honored to see the way you're transforming the earth, dude. I think that you're a fourth generation preacher who's doing things in an amazing way, and it's an honor to be here. So I'm excited about right this second.
We love you, man. This whole space, you know. Thank you. This whole space, and even when we started this church, we always said that, A, we want to champion artists, but really the reason why we want to champion artists is because we actually believe that the Church of Jesus Christ ought to be the most creative place on the planet. And so in the middle of Art Basel Week, Miami Art Week, we wanted to rent out a space, and we wanted to create, and we wanted to host conversations, and we wanted to open up dialogue with people, and we wanted to try to tell the story of the gospel wherever we can. And in this unique space, we're doing that through this installation called Church Kids. And, you know, having you here is awesome. And we've been talking to you tonight, but in a moment, we're going to kind of transition, and we're going to celebrate and party. And I always say that the church should throw parties with a purpose. I believe that Jesus's first miracle was at a party. He went to parties. I think celebrating, there's a lot to celebrate as a follower of Jesus. But tonight, you're not just like, you know, doing fashion stuff. You're also like a performer, a musician, artist. I like all these words. I speak it over your life. An amazing DJ. Talk a little bit about just what we're going to do here tonight a little bit, and what we're going to kind of experience. Music for you.
You know, I mentioned this rave culture thing that happened to me, and a quick story about my like love for music. You know, you mentioned something about Art Basel and art and culture and all this other stuff. You know, and I was at the art fair yesterday and seeing a bunch of art. And what I really admire about this particular moment, going back for a second, is that I believe more than ever that we actually are living in an experience culture. Right, and I can tell you that if I never experienced what I experienced at Promise Keepers in 1996, I don't know that I'd be here today. Right, and I actually think that because of the unfathomable presence and peace of God, I think that God actually wants to give more of His children an experience of His peace and of His grace. And I think that one of the other, although you didn't ask me for two, one of the other pet peeves in terms of that conversation about what we could do better is I think that we could celebrate better. Right? Because I think if there was the greatest party on earth and all of the people aligned to the truth that we believe in, right? Okay? So if you could imagine the celebration of like when every philanthropic effort comes to pass, the one way everyone's healed, there's no more depression, every tear is wiped away, the earth is restored to what it was meant to be, and man and woman function exactly what they were created to be. Like there is a promise that hasn't come to pass, and for me, there's an opportunity to prophetically celebrate something that we know is going to come. I mean, so like I know, the thing about this beauty thing, right, is that the church is often called the bride, right? And so as a father, I know that the father wants this bride to be beautiful for the son. Okay, and that event will have music. And I think he wants to start inviting people to start celebrating what that looks like, right? And so I have four different types of music that I mess with, you know. I do like music for a dinner party. I sent you a little, you know, 2-hour mix. I used to do music for Prada for years, like all their environmental stores. I used to stand there and do 8-hour sets of music on vinyl, just so I would have like every Saturday new music in the stores. Then I do music for my kids. Like we throw house parties and like all your hip hop songs, all the things that you like normally want to hear and dance to. Like we do that at my house, and then I'll play a house party, like a proper club, just normal music, and then I'll play what I'm playing for you tonight, and it's gonna be like it's gonna feel weird for both of us, to be honest with you. honestly. And I'm glad we kind of got it out of the way, because yeah. What I'm really just actually opening you up to is what I do with me and God. So if I wasn't like an artist and I was like, let's say, painting, and all of a sudden we put my sketches up and, you know, like, here's what I'm doing, just like, you know, you're like, oh, that's cool, but I don't like, you know, it's going to be kind of like that with music.
Come on.
There's the 4 or 5 songs that I've made with a guy in Paris that you'll hear, that some of the vocals you'll recognize. But it's a little bit of a story. It's a 1-hour set that I'll play. It's a story. I would recommend for the first like 10 minutes, if you could just, if I could recommend anything, you just take a minute, because it's super mellow, and just find a minute to breathe. I don't know if you've done any worship in this venue yet, but let's call it an electronic music session that's a little bit worshipy.
Who's nervous? No.
And listen, if you really are like, oh my God, it's so bad, just leave. Just be kind, you know. You know, and then it'll move into something, and you know, it'll be over soon. But I did this, I came on at the end of this conference the other day. Anyways, where it all comes from, I'll explain that, and then it makes more sense. So I came back from a rave back in the day in LA, and my friend had set down his turntables, and I woke up in the morning, and I went through his record bin. I was on my knees, and I found a children's Bible on vinyl, a 1970s children's Bible on vinyl. I put it down, and I found this like super dark drum and bass track, and I found the breakdown of the track, and I mixed the Bible in on the breakdown. And all of a sudden, I was like, ah, like if the Bible was in this breakdown, like I know it, if I heard it at a party, it would hit me, and I would start putting the word together with a new sound. Right? And so, like, I've been chipping away at this crazy idea literally for a long time. And I will say, those of you who are engineers or producers or real DJs or real musicians or whatever, I would offer you this up as an idea. It's just an idea that says there's a way that we communicate and create an experience for people to encounter God in a way we've just never known before. And I feel like he just wants to do something new. He wants to captivate the earth, and he wants this bride to grow in beauty for his son, man. He's got a plan. It's super exciting.
Come on, can we put our hands together for Brant Kreider? How thankful are you for him? I'm going to ask Brant to pray for us here in just a moment. And then really what's going to happen is that we're going to take a little bit of time to kind of transition the stage. We'll play some music. And then Brant's going to kind of play for a little bit. We're going to take the chairs up. And I think they've got drinks. And you can hang out and say hi to people, invite some people over. The doors will open up here in a moment. But I just thought before you prayed, maybe you'd bow your head for a moment. And I don't know, just feel led. I know it's a bit of a different space and didn't do this on Tuesday night. But just even here right now, I just want you to understand that there is a God that loves you. And there is a God that is so for you. And 2,000 years ago, what we believe is this God sent his son, his name's Jesus. And he came to this earth in the form of a man. He lived a spotless, perfect life. In fact, he lived the life that all of us wish we could, but we all know that we haven't. And this man, Jesus, went to a cross. And the reason he went to this cross was because he was going to pay the price for your sins and for my sins. You say, what is sin? That just means we missed the mark, that we're not perfect. And he died this death. And the reason why he died was because for every sin, the penalty is death. Yet the good news, the gospel, if you've ever heard that word before, is that Jesus died that death for you. And tonight, it's not about anything other than believing that, receiving that, and allowing that to permeate your heart and change you. He died your death. And he also resurrected so you could live his life. And so even in this space, I know it's a Thursday night and we're going to go out. Some of you are going to different places, but I just wanted to pause for a moment. Brant's going to pray, but I just wanted to give you that invitation right now just to respond and say, that's me, you know, Jesus, I believe in you. And maybe you don't even fully get it, but I'm telling you, it's powerful just to begin to confess that in your heart and even with your mouth. You watch as it begins to change you from the inside out. He loves you. He's for you. I don't know what you've heard. I don't know what your experience was some other place, but this God is madly in love with you. Most of us, it just got screwed up because we met the wrong people. And if you put your eyes on Jesus, if you look to his word, you're going to find the most compelling, audacious, incredible love story ever, that he's for you and he loves you. And so I'm just going to ask Brant to pray for us, and then we're going to party with a purpose.
Father, thank you so much for this moment. Thank you for inviting each of us into your presence. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your kindness, and thank you for your peace, Father. Lord, I pray that whatever seed, whatever word, whatever of you, Lord, is in each person here, that you would just bless them, Lord God, that you would just come alive in their lives in a way they've never dreamed. I thank you for this moment and this opportunity. We love you, Lord. In the precious name of your Son, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Come on, can we give it up for Brant one more time? We love you guys.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.